Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Thanks for being here for this podcast. We're going to be talking about what the culture has accepted with the type of words that are used, but how God doesn't accept them. His ways and His wisdom with the vocabulary we use doesn't change, even though the culture does. So, what exactly are we talking about? Let's get started with the tongue series. Lesson 5, the corrupt or unwholesome tongue. So here's a question. What about four-letter words or profanity? The term four-letter words serve as a rewording or a code matching with what is considered profane, vulgar, rude, unrefined, offensive, and a disrespectful way to express oneself. To some, they are just words like any other words to convey frustration, surprise, to be funny, to get a point across, to add pizzazz to a conversation, or just because. They're simply words that are no different than any other words, right? No. The type of words we use matter, and especially to God, as we will see in a bit. Another question. What's the difference in what God expects and the culture accepts? Let's start with what the culture accepts. Culture changes, and with it, the acceptance of using profanity anywhere, anytime, and with anyone for any reason. But was it always this way? Past culture. Only a few decades ago, four-letter words or profanity of any kind was considered taboo. These types of words were thought of as disgusting, discourteous, and distasteful. It was disrespectful to the hearer and showed no sense of class regarding the user. At one time, it was considered appalling because profanity was usually viewed as pornographic or had sexual undertones. Back then, this was unacceptable because there was a higher level of decency called courtesy that was expected. For those of us that are older, many of us remember those bygone days. A few decades ago, a famous comedian was arrested after his performance for saying words that were viewed as so crude, they were bleeped out. That's how serious the culture took it back then. It was considered a terrible example to youth, dishonoring to the elderly, degrading to women, and just plain undignified and obnoxious, regardless of who it was said to or who said it. Maybe not by all, but by most back then. In some circles, there was locker room talk, or drinking dialogue, or sports arena rantings, but these were the exceptions back then. It was to be kept in that atmosphere, and only by those select individuals at specific times. Hypocritical, yes, because they were given a free pass that the rest of society was expected not to participate in. Today's culture. What a difference a few years make. What was considered taboo in past years is now viewed as simply a figure of speech. Anything goes because it's simply an expression and nothing more. Out with the old and in with the new, more modern way of adding filler words. Today, even women, children, fathers, and Christians use these words as if nothing is wrong with them, and not to mention music and movies. It's just considered everyday language that anyone and everyone can use whenever they want, around whomever they want, and for whatever reason they want. Our culture now views any type of language as nonchalant and acceptable. We don't hold on to dignity anymore, but rather we are dismissive to the importance of the words we use. It's all about, if it's okay with me, then it needs to be okay with you. What's the big deal? Lighten up. Nothing bad is even meant by the words. It's just a figure of speech that doesn't mean anything. So they say. Question. What about watered down versions? Aren't they much better than the original ones? Well, a watered down version still suggests the real word. Even a toned down version being used, the listeners still know what the actual word is. And so what does God say about this? Biblically, these types of words are called unwholesome or corrupt. God tells us corrupt and unwholesome talking is not to come out of our mouth. We are to rid ourselves of it. There must be none of it. So what's the big deal? Well, to God, it is a big deal. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told us not to talk in this way because it is not beneficial to the listener. Let's look in Scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk or unwholesome word come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Colossians 3, verse 8. You must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And look at Ephesians 5, verse 4 in the New American Standard Version. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. English Standard Version. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. The New Living Translation, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. And this verse, Proverbs 4, verse 24, Solomon counseled, keep your mouth free of perversity, keep corrupt talking far from your lips. He's talking about speech which is off color. A person may argue that words are just words, and therefore, there's nothing wrong with certain words or terms. However, Scripture says the opposite. Controlling one's tongue is more than a mere suggestion. It's clear we are to keep our mouth from corrupt and unwholesome language because that is God's way of what not to do. What do the words corrupt and unwholesome mean? Corrupt, unwholesome means not in good condition, damaged, or decayed. So unwholesome or corrupt language is rotten and therefore should no more be said than rotten fruit should be eaten. In other words, unwholesome and corrupt speech is not beneficial to those who hear it, nor those who use it. Paul describes three kinds of inappropriate speech. Ephesians 5, 4, and there is to be no, one, filthy, obscene, two, foolish, silly talk, three, crude jokes, which are not fitting. The first type is filthy or obscene talking. This is mentioned immediately following verses on sexual immorality. So it is referring specifically to jokes, stories, talking, words that have sexual references. The Greek term for filthiness means obscenity. Obscene, filthy, corrupt, and unwholesome. This is foul language, vulgar humor, dirty jokes, obscene stories. Or use of corrupt words can cause, our corrupt words can cause the listener to go to unnecessary places in their thinking, even when we don't realize it. Some may think we are not responsible for what another person is thinking, but we surely are responsible for the types of words we use. Our words can promote good or bad, godly or sinful. The second type of inappropriate speech is foolish or silly talking. This Greek term is a combination of two more common terms, which are stupid and speaking. This means the use of these words are idiotic, absurd, or blatantly meaningless. In other words, it is stupid talk when there is filthy, crude trash talk. The third type of inappropriate speech is coarse or crude talking. The Greek word refers to vulgar, lewd, foul-mouthed, or crass. Crass means tactless, thoughtless, careless. In other words, we have less care than we should about how our language impacts others. Crass also means inconsiderate, impolite, undiplomatic, and obnoxious. God doesn't minimize or make light of this type of talking, so should we? Even though the culture tries to minimize certain words, obviously God maximizes how He says we are not to use them. It's not what the world allows, but rather what God disallows. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means it's never right in the eyes of God to use unwholesome, corrupt talking. God doesn't change with the culture, and neither should we. Even if we are judged for being legalistic because we don't go along with culture change, and it might be laughed at for being so old-fashioned, God is not laughing over corrupt types of talking. As a matter of fact, what we say is so important to God that He warns us we will be judged for the words we use. We will give an account for every careless word we speak. Matthew 12, verses 36 through 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is a reference to the day of judgment. This happens at Christ's return to earth. When Jesus returns, He will hold all people accountable for their words and actions. This includes even a person's every careless word. Scripture tells us there will be two major judgments that take place in the end. One is for all who have rejected Christ and refused God's gift of eternal life through putting their faith in Jesus. This is referred to as the White Throne Judgment. But the other judgment will be of those who are Christians. This is called the Bema Seat. There, Jesus will examine every believer's words and works. He'll determine what rewards will be given or withheld in eternity. Now, just a note, that judgment does not determine salvation, nor does a person lose their salvation during this time. Why will we be held accountable for this? Well, Luke 6, verse 45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Jesus taught that the words we speak reveal what is in our hearts. So if we minimize immorality, we will minimize immoral talking. We need to ask God to give us pure hearts that speak in a pure way that honors His holiness. How could corrupt, unwholesome, vulgar talk possibly honor Him? Immoral speech does not honor God, but rather it honors the sin that grieves Him. Let's quickly recap points to remember. The first point, God doesn't accept what the culture does. The culture may minimize corrupt speaking, but God doesn't. Second point, God commands that no unwholesome or corrupt speech should come out of our mouths, and he hasn't changed his mind on this. Third point, we will give an account for every careless word we choose to speak. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding the wisdom of speaking God's way and not accepting the world's way. Fourth point, followers of Jesus follow the way he spoke and don't follow what the culture accepts. Whatever Jesus said or did was to obey all of God's commandments and to glorify God. In closing, we are required by God to be intentional about not allowing corrupt and unwholesome speech come out of our mouths. As Christians that are followers of Christ, we follow him in the way he glorified God in what he said and did. Notice how Jesus never used corrupt or unwholesome speech. So if we are going to follow his example, neither should we. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.